I'm Will Hedrick.
And I'm Jordan Schaffer.
And this is Dog Ears and Timestamps, a book club podcast.
So you were saying before the show started, you called Errol and talked to him about My Hero? Or you just text him about it?
We just text about it.
Oh, okay. I was thinking like, man, y'all call and talk about it. I'm so jealous.
No, nothing so formal as that.
It's like you have a side podcast right, where you talk to Daryl about My Hero. Okay, cool. I just had to get that off my chest on the podcast.
Okay. Makes sense.
How do you like what you've been reading? You've been enjoying this?
I've been into this second third more than I was into the first third.
Okay.
But I always like school arcs in stories. I find them always to be very enjoyable. And I also am pretty sure I understand what the story is now. And I'm not just like, what is the point? What do we care about? There's something, there's stuff that's actually like happening that, you know, matters to things that have happened. And I can see where it's going to matter later on.
Okay.
As opposed to the first third, I was like, I don't understand how any of this fucking matters.
Yeah. I also think you were coming into it thinking like, how is this going to resolve in one book?
Right.
Or in
yeah.
like one, in a couple goes, like there's no
it
way.
It really seemed like there was no way that this book would end with any resolution whatsoever.
Oh, right. Yeah. So it just, you couldn't tell.
Yeah. Not even just like, cause like, you know, in obviously all the Harry Potters, they're all self-contained stories for the most part, but a greater mm-hmm. narrative is also obviously being served. In the Lord of the Rings, the greater narrative is also obviously being served. The ring goes closer to the mountain, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like in the first book, it's about getting through Moria and then getting through Lorien. And then the second book, it's about the war in Rohan and, you know, and all of that. So there's resolution to conflicts that arise in the individual books is what I'm getting at.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's like almost no way that any real resolution to like conflicts will be arrived at the end of this
yeah.
book.
Yeah. Do you feel like it might almost have to be like manifested just for this book so that it has some sort of big arc with like a conclusion, you know? Like, do you think there's going to be a bad guy? Like a big boss? Like a boss fight? Like a video game?
There must be, right? It depends on, because we know that he leaves the academy at a point. And I think he describes it as him leaving the academy disenchantedly or disillusioned, you know, something of that nature. And so we know he leaves perhaps before he's ready to, or before or longer than he had wanted to, maybe. And so it's about, you know, his journey through to that point at the academy, but we don't know how long that period is. They, you know, went through his first term in what, like three chapters or something like that. And now he's in the second term. I don't know how fast that's going to go through, but if they're tearing through it, he's going to be at the academy for 7 years before we finish this book.
Yeah. I mean, for him only going through two terms, that's like half a year at the university. It's not that mm-hmm. like it didn't feel that bad for pacing, in my opinion.
It didn't feel bad, but if that was I just mean if
no,
the
no,
end
no,
of
no,
this book
yeah.
is the end of his time at the academy, then they're either going to slow away the hell down
yeah.
so that one day is like three chapters
yeah.
or they're going to have him at school for, I mean, you know, the answers to these questions, but or they're going to have him at school for 7-8 years or something if they keep it the same clip.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not actually sure how long he's at the university. I don't want to like give anything away. There's not like there's so many hints of him getting like expelled.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got like a theory that I don't think is probably appropriate to say yet. I mean, it has a lot to do with the name of the third book.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we can talk about that if you want, just because that's already known canon. But I think that there's a big point in something that has to do with that.
Okay.
Gotcha. That makes it so that he has to leave the university.
Mm-hmm.
But my big thing is that, like, once you start reading this book and you realize, like, okay, he said it's going to take him 3 days to tell his story. And we know that it's a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that he's going to tell this story in 3 days and we're going to get it in three books? And then we're just going to be caught up and then the Chronicler is going to go on his way. Because it feels like the world's still kind of messed up. And I know these interlude sections haven't really given us much as to what's going on, except for before we started getting interludes, when it was still Coat, you know, in the in the town and not Quoth telling a story. We got like a little sneak peek of these demons coming over the hill, but over the mountain, I guess. But there's like some unbalance in the world, and it feels like it's his fault. The book revolves around him. Mm-hmm. He's like banished himself away to the point where he changed his name, which is something that, like, at this point, I feel like we know he wouldn't do that. Like, why would, like, he knows names are so important. Like, he wants to study naming. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like he would know, like, changing your name is a big deal. Like, if you're trying to be somebody else, and he's trying to forget, like, his past, because even in the first section, he said he's lived and loved and killed and he's done all these things. So it makes you think, like, I don't know, even that kid in Coates Tavern or whatever, when they're all singing Tinker Tanner or whatever, and he's like, oh, I recognized you. They say that, like, I saw where you killed him or whatever, like, they still haven't been able to mend the stone. Yeah. He said something like that, which is like alluding to Quoth's like true power and like the power that he will attain. I guess I can tell you this. I haven't seen any of it. Like, I haven't seen why he's become the King Killer. You know, like, I don't know why they call it the King Killer Chronicles. Yeah, it makes it sound like he's going to start killing kings every book. But
Is it Chronicles or just Chronicle, like singular? I feel like I've seen it as just Chronicle.
It's probably just Chronicle, yeah. I mean,
he's only killed the one king.
Probably, yeah. He's very particular, too, about grammar and stuff. So I feel like it would be that, yeah. It would be Chronicle.
Hmm. There's something when you kind of started that thought that I thought was interesting, and you sort of posited the question. So are the three books the 3 days or not? And so I was thinking, well, what if they're not? What if, you know, the three books are 1 day? Does that mean that we've got, what's the trilogy word for nine? have 6 more books? Well, 7 more books coming.
I think if that was the case, we would have gotten another one by now.
Yeah.
I think that it's going to be the last book when it comes out, and it's going to be like, that's why it's taken him so long, because he's like, I got to get it right.
Yeah. Does he not finish telling his story?
That would be disappointing, because it's like, oh, like, he doesn't finish his story and we just get forced into present day.
Yeah, and we just whatever it is that, you know, those other questions that we have. What was up with those Skrail, and what's this war that we're supposedly in?
He just has to deal with that now. And then we don't get the rest of Quoth's story.
We don't.
Whoa. Yeah, I don't know. Still, as of reading the second book, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what the third book is going to give us, like, as far as, like, how they're going to finish out Quoth's story, how they're going to tie it into present day. I don't know if the third book has anything to do with present day. I don't know if it's all illusion to, like, this giant metaphor. Like, I have no idea how it's going to end. Mm. I'm, like, sad and excited at the same time. There's so many, like, unique concepts, too. Do you like the school that he's... Do you like how the magic and stuff kind of works?
Yeah, I do. I think it's really interesting. I think, despite the... there's at times sort of like an over need to explain things in Patrick Rothfuss's mind. I feel like he thinks that he has to over explain all these things pretty frequently.
Yeah.
But despite that, it's easy to understand.
Okay.
I don't really have any questions about how the magic works. I think I get it.
makes you get it.
Yeah. And so... It's almost as bad as like Seven Eves, right? Where we basically were astrophysicists after that book.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's not quite that bad because these are fake things that can't be explained to that degree.
But he's like, no, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Right. but it is. I do like the systems that are in place.
Yeah.
I like the way that Kavos sort of describes the process of sympathy.
Yeah.
And then obviously I grasp the concept of naming things, mm-hmm. Which I assume, is a different kind of magic. Maybe there's literally like a thread that connects them in nature, I guess, you know, as far as like rules of this mythos go. Mm-hmm. But it feels to me like it's a totally different kind of magic for what we know so far.
Sympathy or naming?
The two of them. I feel like they're totally different from each other. Like they're not related. But I don't know that yet.
Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder if you can, like, I wonder if someone that doesn't know sympathy could say the true name of something.
Yeah, do you have to know one to get to the other?
Yeah, because the way that, like, learning sympathy, like, trains your mind to think, I would imagine that it would make it so you could go searching for the name of the wind or whatever mm-hmm. and, like, find that easier and learn to listen for it. And
I feel like the naming is, like, the nature of things, and sympathy is the bending of that nature.
Yeah, with like a set finite amount, with like rules and mm-hmm. laws. And
because that's just physics, right? All the stuff that they're talking about in advanced sympathy, all the transfer rates mm-hmm. and all that sort of stuff. And they are doing, you know, calculations on how much blood, what's his name, used up during the duel
Who's the teacher?
Oh, it's the very different name. I can't picture it right now, so I'm not sure.
Elk Siddell, I think.
Yeah.
With
I say Elja.
With Elk Siddell.
Yeah. Huh. I say Elja.
Well,
in my head.
I can't trust this audiobook narrator because every time he goes into the Aeolian, he gets wasted or something because he cannot get Simon down at all. He's like Kvothe goes and talks to Stanchion or whatever, and then uh-huh. and then comes back and he's like, okay, like we're all set up, and then said Simon. I was like, Simon? What? There's no Simon. Like
Simon would be one M, sir.
Yeah, and he flips back and forth between Simon and Simon every now and then. Only at the Aeolian though. Like only whenever he's been drinking he starts thinking of like
you think it's maybe very it's a weird. Performance piece. Like he's purposely doing that. He's like, yeah, he's drunk. Of course he's going to mispronounce things. That seems like a little bit extra.
Yeah, if he's doing that, I'm not into it. Like, let's not. Let's
I feel like
that.
If I was an audiobook narrator and I had the idea to do that, someone would absolutely say, stop that.
Yeah, because, I mean, he calls him Simon every now and then. It's like, there's not a new guy named Simon at the table. Like, mm-hmm. it's Simon that's sitting at the Aeolian with them. Like,
is it saying Aeolian? Simon.
That's what I hear. Or, okay. Yeah. That's
what I go back and forth between Aeolian and Yolian.
Yole. That makes sense. So did you like the Aeolian? Was that a fun scene?
Yeah, that was a cool scene.
That was kinda cool.
I liked it.
I've looked up fan art.
Oh yeah.
It makes me think of like the gladiators and stuff, like in a coliseum.
Oh yeah.
But so like tiers, you know.
Yeah, right.
And then it's all in, and there's like a stage in the center.
Mm.
And that was like this photo I saw that was like these different tier levels around a center stage, and then there were ground level people too. But then mm-hmm. the stage was raised up a little bit.
Right.
And then it had a kid with ratty hair, like red hair, and like a ratty old case and a lute, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I imagined it was just like a tavern. I had a specific tavern in mind from The Witcher 3, actually.
Nice. How big was it?
That one is probably, like, the ground floor of that was probably, like, 900 square feet. But there were second and third levels, obviously.
Nice.
As described.
Nice.
So, that's what I figured.
That's cool. I need to see that place.
I need to remember what Witcher the actual 3. Name is it. Is there's several taverns in The Witcher 3. That one specifically was like the Heron or something like that. I don't know. It's in Oxenfurt.
Okay.
Which is the academy, funnily enough.
Hey. Yeah. He's playing Witcher.
Right, yeah.
When he was writing this, that'd be funny.
Or he's a big old what's his face fan.
Andrzej or just
Sapkowski, that's right.
Yeah. I always get Andrzej. Sapkowski. Wazowski.
Sapkowski.
He's the guy from Monsters, Inc.
Mike Wazowski, yeah.
Andrzej Sapkowski. I mean, it's hard not to pull from other books. Like, I always...
Yeah, everything is something else.
Yeah, I always think of that when I'm reading, like, and that's one of the things in this book that's so fun for me, is because he goes into this like extreme detail when we don't need it, but I enjoy it because it's like, it's new concepts for things that I'd never thought of, you know. And then like sigildry, like, I think that's the, where you
type, sounds like runes.
Yeah, you're like embedding runes into things and making like the sympathetic link.
Like, I'm always confused. Only Hermione takes or whatever.
You're right. I'm always confused how they get like the power to like, if you do the two runes that make them attract to each other so hard that they like are gonna break, and then you do the two runes to them like indestructible or whatever. It's like, where are they getting all this juice? Are these runes like co-inhabitating, and then like, doesn't it require some form of energy? Where do you get this energy?
Yeah, because all sympathy that they do requires an energy source.
Yeah.
We know that much so far, or I know that much so far. And so the, what is that source that the runes are then able to utilize to be so strong? Like, exactly like you're saying, it doesn't make any sense really.
Because I mean, I know
the runes amplify the connection. So the transference rate is considerably higher, at least right now, at the student level. The highest like transference rate that we've seen is like the 11% that he got whenever he made the thing of Master Hema. And so we're not ever anywhere near like 60, 70, 80% transference rates, where like you could do probably some pretty sweet shit because it's efficient. We haven't seen that happen at all. So
it kind of alludes to some scary stuff that could happen when he makes the deal with Davy, but
right
doesn't do anything or tell us.
Yeah. So does the runes take that like 10% that they sometimes get at the student level and magnify it by like 12 or something like that? Or I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah. There's something to do.
How the runes work yet.
Yeah. There's something to do with your Alar. You have to have like a focused Alar when you're carving the runes so that the sympathy like occurs. And does it like pull from you and then the thing happens? Like, I'm a little confused at that. I understand completely why it would be exhausting. It's very mentally taxing for sure to do all this stuff. I'm like,
yeah, he frequently talks about like being in two mind spaces at once.
Oh yeah. And then if he's making like a flashlight, which it was like his thieves lamp or whatever. It wasn't like a normal burning lamp. It was straight up like a flashlight.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is not for people of the Arcanum, you bad boy. But when he was making that flashlight, it sounded so difficult and confusing. Like, where is it getting the energy? Like, it's getting the energy from the heat in his hand. That was actually clever. Okay. I remember that now. Well, never mind. So that's how that one works. So I wonder how.
But was he using runes in that build?
Yeah. Yeah.
But what about the runes makes it so much more powerful, though? I think that's the question. I guess it could. Is it the runes that are the runes a part of that mechanism that are drawing power from the heat of his hand? Or are the runes like something that you put on to amplify the process that's already happening? So, like, without the runes, the flashlight is going to still make light using the heat of his hand, but then you put on, like, you know, the rune, like, extra 8 gigs of RAM, and so then it's just a lot better.
No,
is it a fundamental part of that process?
It wouldn't work without the runes.
Okay.
Runes are like electricity, I feel like, because they have that, they explain that chill charmer that one time, like, they straight up have, like, refrigerators and electricity, not electricity, but, like, they have refrigeration in this world. And I mean, I think what refrigeration is literally a matter of like moving the cold air in and like the hot air out. And like they do it through like copper piping in the back. So like if you can, I think as long as you can get the airflow to happen, like you can create a cold enough space. And then I think that that's how they keep it. Like they can have it self-powering because it like generates heat and then they can use that heat to keep it going. But, I don't know. It seems like since fire is the essential element for all arcanists, like Elxidol says that in his class, like it's the key element for all sympathy. It has to be super important in sigildry, of course. Elxidol, or no. Who does he study sigildry with?
I don't know. Can't remember. Is it Hema's boyfriend?
I don't think so.
Who holds up all his grudges with him?
No, it's the guy that likes him.
Kilvin?
Yeah.
Is Sigildry? I guess. I mean, he can obviously teach more than one thing. But I.
What does he teach?
Is artificer?
Oh, that's what I got him backwards. I've been saying Sigildry this artificing? Whole time for artificing. Yeah, that's what I meant. My bad. Forget all the Sigildry stuff I said and replace that with artificing. What's Sigildry then?
I don't remember.
Well, artificing is what we were talking about with all the runes. We were on the same page. I just had the wrong word.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe they're both part of it. I mean, to some degree, all of it is part of each other. These classes. Except for, I think Medic is probably a little bit more independent.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it seems like all of these things are pretty essential to each other.
Yeah.
Whereas Medica mostly takes rather than contributes back. In the same way, anyways.
Yeah, I mean, for sure there are classes that like sympathy or whatever, that class is crucial.
Yeah, that's like English 101 or something like that. Yeah. Like, you got to do that shit.
And then you can like focus into other things. Like one of the girls, I think Fella, she's really good at like sculpting. So she's working in Kilgan's shop, but she's not like... I don't think she's like an artificery person. She just like works with like likes working with rocks and with her hands. So she's like crafting over there.
Hmm.
It's kind of cool. It's almost like you can study whatever you want.
Right. Yeah. It's like a better version of college.
It sounds like it's way more expensive. I could not tell you for the life of me what a talent is worth in American dollars. Sometimes it feels like it's $1,000.
Because it's a time period difference as well. Like there's like, you know, nobody's, I guess there's like that the it would be equivalent to like a medieval sort of time in the real world. As far as like the level of technology and stuff, even with magic, they still don't have like automobiles. Like, you know, carts are still drawn by horses. So it's they like could. Still a huge time difference. So it's even harder to try and compare anything relative. Like you could tell me that back in ancient England, if you went to the tavern and got a drink for 3 crowns, I'd be like, I don't know what the fuck that means.
That is interesting. I wonder what, like...
Because a drink nowadays, depending on what you get, I guess is like, what? Like, if you get something cheap for $2,
yeah,
which is nothing.
Would that be 2 gold coins back in the day, and then now gold coins?
Well, it almost certainly like... couldn't be a direct, like a one-for-one representation like that, but it just seems...
Wouldn't that be like crazy, though? Like... Compare. Yeah, exactly. No, I see exactly what you're saying. Yeah, because I couldn't for the life of me tell you how much a talent is. It feels sometimes like it's worth $1,000. It feels like sometimes it's $100. Sometimes it feels like it's worth $10,000. Right. It's so confusing.
Well, that rich lady, when he was still in Tarbian and he went to the nice side, he went hillside, didn't she give him a silver jot?
A silver penny.
Oh, it was a whole penny. Okay.
Yeah.
So never mind. So that's 1/10 of a jot, right? And then a jot's 1/10 of a talent. It goes by tens because it makes more sense than ours.
I thought jots and pennies were a different money system. Like I thought jots and talents and that those were together, but the pennies were like part of the iron coin or whatever.
They are. But at least in Tarbian, where they were both utilized, I feel like I remember like the jots and the talents definitely go in tens, but they were above the pennies by that much that you know, a tenth of a jot would be a penny, if I remember correctly. Or maybe a copper jot, and then underneath the copper jot was a copper penny.
I thought that the jots, drabs, like, I thought that the weird words were, like, yeah, the...
Forgot about drabs.
Were, like, all the money words for, like the main money source, and then, like, copper pennies were what they used in Tarbian. Like, everyone spent those in Tarbian, but, like, the iron... The coin that's accepted everywhere, I think, is like the jot, talent, drab. That's that system. I think that they might be two different money systems. I'm not 100% sure, but because it feels like they get thrown around interchangeably. Yeah. Like it feels like people are spending pennies and it's the same as like a jot or something, you know? So I can never tell. That's also probably why I'm so confused.
I had the impression that both were used in Tarbian for whatever reason.
Yeah, because
maybe because it's a port city.
Yeah, and didn't it sound like it was going to cost him 2 jots or whatever, or 2 talents for like a pair of shoes? And it's like a pair of shoes. Like, okay, back in the day when you had a cobbler custom making your shoes, I'm really stretching. It's like I'm getting a custom made pair of like everyday walking boots that I won't have to buy for a couple of years. I'm guessing it's probably like $800.
At a minimum, right?
That's what I'm thinking. So like, so two.
Because I've bought just boots that are just made for $450.
Right. You know, yeah.
So to the labor to custom fit and all that must be like at a minimum. Like I think that like a kind of general rule for like labor on things is that the labor is at a minimum 2.5 to 3 times the material cost.
Interesting. I never thought of it that way.
That's the way. Well, I mean, not even the material cost, the whatever the product ends up being. Mm-hmm. Like you know,
oh, okay.
You would sell those boots for. Like if you were just making a general like size 9D boot, you know, according to the 9D chart, that boot would be, you know, anywhere between $200 and $800 depending on the material you're using.
Yeah.
And then you would just take on top of that would be the labor that you would charge to make it custom. That would be at least, you know, if I was starting a business, that would be my most basic math that I could come up with to charge.
Sure. Yeah,
I'm sure you could obviously refine that once you get experience and figure out the actual cost of things. But
interesting.
If I was like outlining a business plan, that would be like my starting point.
Nice. It's a good one. But that was like my comparison for like what I could try to assume that I like, because I think it was, I think it was like 2 talents.
I feel like I remember him saying that. Yeah.
It was either 2 talents or 2 jots. 2 talents sounds like way too much.
2 talents sounds like a lot.
That was like his entire tuition. That's the second time.
Yeah.
Because it's like 3 talents and some change like the second time it comes through.
Yeah, it was like 3 and 8 or something, right?
Which is more money than he could get in all the world. So that's what makes me think it's like $3,000, like $3,800 or something to pay for this term.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of it in thousands, but then I was like, so it was $2,000 for those shoes, but then he got them for free because the guy liked him and he had nice feet. Like I'm assuming his son that doesn't live there anymore. Maybe his son went off to the war or died or just grew out of the shoes.
Yeah.
Which is the nicest option.
It must've been grew out of because at the time, plus, you know, 15, right? Are your feet still growing at that point?
Yeah.
Did you have to buy new shoes? Because 15 actually does sound a little bit older than I remember. Like, I feel like I've been buying the same size shoes since 15.
I think I have too, but I think that for a lot of people, they'll still be growing I think my brother hit another size like when he was 20.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He's a giant of a man. I mean,
I know, man. They got all the tall jeans. I'm jealous. I'm all short. And then my dad was like, don't be jealous. You have better balance. I was like, shut up, dad.
Shut up, dad.
You're just saying that because you're tall and you feel bad.
I have a couple of notes.
All right, hit me with
one that I just thought was really funny as I read it. He's talking about all the stories told about him, about how like some of them are real or whatever.
Yeah.
And some of them are fake. And then he's describing the ones that are fake. Said, I had demon blood in me. I could see in the dark. I only slept an hour each night. When the moon was full, I would talk in my sleep, speaking a strange language no one could understand. And all of that sounds exactly like options that would be in the 5th edition player's handbook for D&D character creation.
Yeah, dude, those are so good. I love it.
He's just making a D&D character. And then my other note is that Patrick Rothfuss just hates poetry.
Yeah, he must.
It's such a weird thing for Gavoth to say that poetry is the lowest form of art.
Yeah.
Why would he need to say that line? It sounds like a strangely specific character trait for Gavoth to have, and one that I wouldn't believe that he would have.
Yeah.
But he's still describing that. I don't get what that group. I mean, I guess he really hates what's his name who does poetry. The rich kid who sucks. What's his Ambrose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess maybe that would be why he hates poetry as an adult, is because of Ambrose, but I don't know.
Well, his dad always told him, like, poetry is for men who, like, I think he said poetry doesn't infect all men, all people. Like, it only infects, like, smart people, whereas music gets everybody. Like, yet you feel it down to your core, something like that. He was saying, like, he was dogging on poetry. And then his mom was like, oh, this guy, he just couldn't. I don't know. He can't write a line to save his life. I can't even remember the quote. But she was just like, he just doesn't like poetry because he sucks at it. And she's like, I don't know. He's like, mm-hmm. poetry sucks because it needs music. And so Kvothe is like, he's right. Dad's right. I feel like he just got it from his dad.
Yeah, I guess I could buy that. It just seems like an out of place thing to say. So much so that I can only conclude that PR hates poetry.
Yeah, probably.
That's the only possible conclusion for why that's in there.
Okay, so my couple of notes that I took. So when we went to the rookery, is that what they called it?
The rookery.
What do they call the place where everyone goes mad? Everyone goes a raven?
Oh, they call it the crockery?
Yeah.
Something that place. Like that. Yeah. when they take the asylum.
Yeah, exactly. So when they go and Illodin is, like, they go back to his old room, and it was all like, Kvothe is like swiping the air in front of his face. He's like, ugh. Like, it feels like shit in here, you know? Like, yeah. And then Illodin is like, oh, I'm surprised you even noticed. Like, I'm impressed. You noticed that my room feels bad. Like, that they're pumping in shit to make it feel bad.
Yeah.
And then there was like a really. In like this fan theory that it said that copper was the only thing that doesn't have a name, like a true name.
Yeah.
And supposedly that's why it aligned like the copper in Illodin's, like in the, mm-hmm. in between the bricks in Illodin's walls, because like supposedly copper had no name. So like he couldn't call the name of copper to mm-hmm. make the bricks fall, but then he does it, right? Doesn't he do it in front of Kvothe?
Yeah.
Right then. So that fan theory's out.
Yeah. I figured that what happened was they did that in a way where he didn't know that they did that. So he calls the name of whatever the other material is, the rock.
The new name,
and,
yeah.
And he, or whenever they did it to him, and why that would have stymied him for a little bit, would be that he didn't know that there was copper in there, so he didn't know to also call it.
Oh, he said they changed it.
Yeah, after...
No, when he goes back, and he's like, oh, right. They yeah, changed yeah, yeah. it, because when he broke out, there was no wall.
Yeah.
Because he broke it. Yeah, yeah. So then when they rebuilt it, he's like, oh, they changed yeah. it. Like, that's awfully clever of them. And then he says a new name. Mm-hmm. But then the wall disappears, though, right? There's not just, like, the copper falls. Like
he, like, pulverizes it entirely. It turns to sand.
That's what I thought. Yeah, yeah. But then he was like, it was much less impressive this time, which is probably because of the copper. But, huh. Okay, I wonder why that fan theory was that the copper didn't have a true name. There's also part of like the lore of Kvothe that like it talks about him having rings on all of his fingers. I think one of the rings they either theorized to be like copper or like the name of the wind.
What?
Either like he calls the name of the wind and he wears it as a ring because he knows the name of like he can find the name of the wind in any place or something like that. I don't know. I haven't figured out all the rings, but there is like a story at one point where it's like him telling you about all these rings, which is I thought was really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, I guess that fan theory's out. I'm glad I brought it up because I thought there was some significance to copper, and there might not be.
Yeah, I think it was, I guess it was just literally that they had put it into the wall after they reconstructed it.
Yeah, just to maybe make it a little...
more difficult.
Yeah, but Illodin's a master namer.
I call him Illodin.
Wrong.
I put the, what do you call that? Emphasis on the E.
Nice. He probably wouldn't care.
Yeah, he wouldn't notice. He's too aloof.
Or he would notice so hard every time.
Right.
Now, he's like, he's super cool. He's like focused. And I mean, there's obviously a reason that all the other masters have respect for him. Like he all he did was like touch the new wall and was like, oh, that's cool. And then he like knocked on a couple of times and then he was like, blah, 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 new name.
Right, yeah.
And then the wall was like, boom. And then Taberlin the Great spoke.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Taberlin story because I have a hard time understanding where it comes from. I have this weird sensation that like Taberlin is just like a version of all of the great like arcanists, like throughout their day, because like when when they talk about the story of Elodin being like locked away in that cell in the crookery or whatever, like the story of him breaking out is so similar to Tabalin the Great that it's just like, was he Tabalin the Great? Did he like? Then I feel like there's like a time portal warp or something, because like sometimes it feels like the stories of Kvothe so parallel with Tabalin the Great. I mean, obviously. Kvothe has like loves to shroud himself in like this extra mystique. So anytime he can around simpletons make himself come off as Tabalin the Great or whatever, he's gonna do it. You know, like right, to be impressive for whatever reason he might need. But
I think he really wants to emulate that story as well.
So I'm confused if he is the story. For some reason, I feel like there's gonna be some time warp. I don't know why or how it's gonna work. Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Like there's like a hero of time sort of thing, you know, like where Link is just doing the same thing over and over again, but through the personage of another person who finds a green tunic for some reason.
That's why they all have red hair.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
That must be what it is. We figured it out. Because, cancel the show.
Because
we figured it out, Pat.
Oh my god. What if that's true? Because Elodin doesn't have red hair, right?
No, he's got black hair.
That's what I thought.
Specifically, but
Elodin and I feel like Tabalin the Great has red, and then Kvothe has red.
Yeah, I picture Elodin as Severus Snape, as played by Alan Rickman.
Oh, make him more handsome than that.
That's what I think of. I think of Alan Rickman as Snape.
Wasn't Alan Rickman like handsome in other roles, but not Snape, because of his greasy old hair look?
Yeah, I think that. I mean, they wanted him to be a little less favorable.
He was in Batman, right?
I don't know. Not in the new ones, not in the Christopher Nolan ones.
No.
Maybe some of the older ones. I don't know. He was Hans Gruber in Die Hard. That's the one that everybody always talks about.
Well, I can't remember. Alan Rickman. I thought he was the chief of police or whatever that would do the bat symbol.
No, that's
Oh, that's Sirius Black.
Yeah.
That was Gary the Harry Oldman. Potter character fusion that I did wrong. Yeah.
Gary Oldman.
That's who I would imagine before, but Elodin's still so young. I think Elodin's in his 20s.
Yeah.
So change your imagination. No, I'm kidding.
It could be a young Severus. I mean, I can imagine Alan Rickman young enough to do that.
Good. No, I was just kidding anyway, obviously.
We'll think about him.
That's so funny. That's so funny thinking of like a fun, playful Snape. Like that's sitting down in the road. Like,
right, that's just silly.
Go find me some acorns. Right. Go Harry.
I will be here.
Yeah.
Sits on the road. Yeah.
And then he didn't even like run away from him. He was just like walking down the road.
Yeah. He just stood right back up and just continued.
Continued on his walk. Like he literally didn't try to ditch him. And then when Kvothe notices later, he's like, he just catches back up.
Right.
I thought that part was funny. He just catches back up because Elodin was strolling along. Okay. There was one part that I had always wanted to think about that I heard Viari, the traveling researcher. Do you remember him?
No.
It might have happened like right at the very end or like I might have overlapped this next chapter. But there's
I didn't finish the section of reading this week. I let myself get way too behind.
But there was there's like a traveling somebody that works for the archives. He's a traveling. I wrote down the word. I guess I didn't write the word down. Acquisitions. He works in acquisitions, and he's like a researcher for the archives, and he works directly under. Doesn't matter the guy that runs the archives.
Yeah, I forget his name.
And he comes in, and because Kvothe is waiting to talk to him to try to like, can you please let me back in the archives?
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up seeing him. That guy go in like from acquisitions, and he's like a traveler, and he says like hello to Kvothe in like a certain language, and then he's and Kvothe is like, excuse me, and he's like, oh sorry, I thought you looked Yilish, and I was like, Yilish, who are they? Why does Kvothe look like them?
They're like a traveling culture or something like that, right? And they're like very poor, because
I don't
Hema
think so.
Calls Basil. Whenever he's late to class that first day, it says, are you Yilish? Because I hear that they're so uncultured they can't be on time or something like that.
Hmm.
And Kvothe goes into detail about like what that tribe is. Or,
I need to
culture of
think
people.
About that then. Nice memory.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to figure out where Quoth comes from, because like,
they well, kinda, they're gypsies,
but they allude to his mom being like. She says like, remember so when you stole me away from like,
and she was like, a noble's daughter.
Yeah. So we're always trying to piece together like which, mm-hmm. which noble she's from. I think I know who she's from, but I don't know where they live or what they're all about, you know?
Yeah. Like, are they Kaldish or?
I'm not 100% sure. I bet I could look it up. Like, I could type in the name and they'd be like, the blah blahs are from blah blah and blah blah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I don't want to say too much because
I feel like maybe she was excited. From the Commonwealth. Like, I, for some reason, I feel like I remember that almost being explicitly.
There's always a Commonwealth.
Yeah. Right.
I think I had one more note. No, it was just more notes about that one guy because he knew Kvothe was part of the Edema Rue, which I was like, how do you know that? How do you just look at this guy and you're like, oh, that guy's from the Rue? Like, he's Edema Rue.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, there must be some sort of. Identification or whatever. I mean, Elidan's also the mad genius or whatever, so.
No, this is that, like, traveling salesperson.
Oh, okay.
Or the traveling acquisitions guy.
I don't know that guy yet.
Well,
but Elidan also knows it. That's why he initially tells Kvothe why he doesn't want to teach him.
Yeah, because the Rue. Well, he knows because of admissions as well.
I guess so, yeah. He probably. But he doesn't seem like somebody that would look at paperwork, you know?
But he was there, and he would remember. Like, have he heard?
I don't remember it coming up that he was in Rue.
In the initial thing.
I could be wrong, but I don't remember it being there. Or him, you know, verbalizing it. If he, like, put it on his paperwork,
yeah.
Then, you know, I would believe that. But Elidan wouldn't give a shit about paperwork. He'd probably just be like, yeah, whatever.
And maybe it didn't come up, and him noticing is something that I never realized that was like a big deal.
That's the way it struck me, but I totally could have missed whatever it was.
And it probably didn't come off as a big deal to Kvothe because he probably thought like, oh, he also read the file on me or whatever. Interesting. Not everybody's thinking about you, Kvothe. They go home, then do their dishes.
The world doesn't center around you the way that you center around you, Kvothe.
I think about you more than they think about you. I love this kid, though.
Very self-centered. His narration of himself almost drives me up the wall.
Sometimes it's a little like, ugh, all right, come on. Let's go. I get what you're doing. You're building a beautiful scene.
Right.
Because you're a Edema Rue. I love just all the little things, though, now. Like, after this book, I'll be like, you know, with an Alara as strong as a bar of Ramsden steel. And you'll be like, yes, I get that reference now. Thanks for forcing me to read that book.
What is Ramsden steel? Are we ever going to find out? Where's Ramsden? Does that ever come up?
It's just hard AF, bro. Ramsden's hard, bro.
I guess so.
Yeah, I always imagined that to be like the same as Damascus steel. I was like, Ramsden steel is the same as Damascus.
Right, it must be.
Just flipped them. Anyway, I think that's it. I think that's all I've got. I kind of don't know what else to say without like, this is going to happen soon. But I'm really excited for this next section. It'll be good to like have this book under our belt.
Mm-hmm. Is this sort of like a little bit of a harem anime situation? Because, like, every girl that exists is into him, right? We keep coming across characters that seem to be into him to varying degrees.
I don't think so.
Like, is being sort of flirty with him maybe a little bit. And then we get that, like, a moneylender's or councilman's daughter who's trying to flirt with him after his performance. And that could just have been that, right? Like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we got too much explanation about her for her not to come back at least once. There's Fella, who he's interacted with multiple times now at the school.
Yeah.
Obviously, Denna, who he traveled with.
He's just, like, so young. He's, like, 14 right now. Right now, it's the harem anime situation. Like, the girls are into him, and he doesn't know, so he's, like, the innocent guy. Yeah. Like, in that, like, the Tenchi Muyo thing.
Yeah.
Like, that I can believe. And then he's never getting with Denna, and she's always, like, with another guy, and he's always pissed.
Right.
But he's not pissed because he cherishes their friendship, so he has to stick it out.
Yeah.
Allah. Anyway, it's cool because... Throughout the two books, as far as I know, it goes through, I think, a few years of his life, as far as I remember. Mm-hmm. And And he does mature and develop, and like he does start to like see these relationships. It's not always like the awkward passover of like a girl, but it's not like it feels appropriate when you go back through it. But when I was first going through it, I was like, geez, like what is going to happen? Is he either going to get with a girl, or is it always going to be awkward? Like, is he never going to figure this out? And then I forget how old he is. He's not very old. Mm-hmm. And he regularly says how like untrained he is with women, which is the harem anime situation, I think, like you were saying. I feel like as far as the girls that like we know, mm-hmm. it's like the only one, I don't need to say anything. The girls we know, it'll be a mystery what happens with Quoth and them. Because I don't want to say too much because it's like, it's fun. It's fun reading and getting like, ooh, what could happen?
I get tired of the will they, won't they stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, do you want me to tell you?
Like whenever that happens in a story, doesn't take long before I'm like, okay, like, y'all need to either have like a different story or resolve this love thing already.
Yeah. I mean, he only has eyes for Denna, really. Yeah. You know, so like the other girls that pop in and out, like he does things for them that they like, they might have a crush or something, but he like never notices because he's like oblivious and 14. And then after a certain point, he like matures and it's not like, it's not like he's a virgin through the whole thing. He ends up like maturing at a certain point and then they meet each other and mm-hmm. it's like, I mean, he tells you in the beginning he gets the girl, but then at some point it's like, does she die or does he lose her? You know what I mean? Like in that, in that series of things, like he loves and lost or whatever, like he tells you he gets the girl. So you're like, you kind of know without me spoiling it like I just did. I'm sorry. But like you kind of know.
Yeah.
Right? That's the one.
It seems and to have like, been relatively obvious.
But I mean, we don't know what happens to her in the end. Yeah. Like, does she die? Does she run away? Does she get like, does she turn into like a lich queen? Like I don't know what could possibly happen.
Oh, is it like, what's that Will Smith superhero movie where he can't get close to Charlize Theron? Or else they start destroying everything. They get too powerful.
I liked that.
But they love
too.
Each other, so they can't be near. So they want to be near each other, but then they can't because they keep destroying the planet. Or
is that just Hancock?
Yeah, that's that movie. I thought that was a decent movie.
I liked that.
It was
movie.
Okay. There's better movies, but
I was thinking Suicide Squad originally.
Suicide Squad. No,
I liked that one too, though.
Oh wow!
I can shoot guns super good. Stupid power. I hate that. When that's somebody's power.
I did not watch that movie because I do not care to.
Yeah, well, you're not missing anything.
That's what I've heard. What, we'll do the Harry Potter thing. What classes would you take at the university?
I mean, of course, I'd want to be taking, like, sympathy.
I think you probably have to, though, right?
Yeah.
It feels like that's like a super 101 class.
Yeah, so I'd be like taking advanced sympathy, but like I really like the artificing thing. I think I'd be good at that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you probably would too.
I don't know if the rest of them I'd be that great at.
You're relatively
at, like,
handy.
Yeah, the medical thing I think would be tough for me. Yeah, alchemy and chemistry would be tough. What are the other classes? I mean, all of them are hard. Like some are grammar and mathematics. Those sound tough too. I don't think I'd take very many classes because they're all so hard. I don't know why they sound so much harder than Harry Potter magic classes, though. It's like potions is probably just as tough.
Because there's no rules in Harry Potter magic.
Yeah, this magic
there's
is
no,
like,
there's
oh,
no real
my gosh.
Rules in that series. There's like kind of rules, but not really rules.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously I'd love to take naming, but nobody's taking that.
Right, yeah, that class doesn't exist. What is it that he teaches according to like the books? It's like unlikely math or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure what I would take. I would probably, is there a class that has to deal with the archives? Maybe I would take that.
Yeah, because what does he teach that teacher? That the one over the archives?
Yeah. I mean, I guess probably grammar.
Research.
Research, yeah. I feel like I would take one of those. Dork. I can't imagine being in alchemy or chemistry. I mean, like I said, potions would be my preferred course in Harry Potter. Like, I feel that would be the one that I would want to be good at. I don't know that I would be, but I would want to be good at it. I feel like I have no chance of being good at any of these courses.
Yeah, I feel like maybe I'd be okay at the artificing, but that split
Why
your
do
mind
they call
into
it the
two
fishery?
Parts. The artificery?
Isn't there fish?
The artificiary?
Yeah, but they spell it like a fish place. Like a place where you catch fish. They spell it F-I-S-H-E-R-Y.
Well, it's fun slang, dude.
I guess.
That's all I got. Fun slang.
That must be what it is. That must be what it is. I hadn't really considered that, but that must be what it is. That seems like a dumb stretch, though.
The fishery, bro. Artificiary. They make artificial things. Artificiary.
Artificiary. It's just a bad accent. It's just a really bad accent.
Some might say racist.
Yeah.
And artificiary. I mean, what do you think is going to happen in this next bit? Like, do you have any idea?
I've got no idea.
I know. It's like, it's not leading us up to anything. It's just he's in school.
Yeah, he's just in school. He's been in school for a third of the book at this point.
And now there's a girl.
Yeah, we finally caught back up with the girl who was on the road.
Yeah.
That we already knew was like the one or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, there's that girl that he's fucking hanging out with that lives inside the Muse. The homeless girl that he hangs out in that like abandoned courtyard with and plays his lute.
Ari.
Yeah, Ari.
His little moon fae.
What's the deal with her? That's another one in the harem.
I can't tell you much about her because there's a huge conspiracy that I think is almost confirmed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I honestly think she's like a noble person's daughter. That's as much as I can remember without like looking the conspiracy back up. But right.
He thinks it's obvious that she was a student at some point.
Yeah, and I think that because of like her mannerisms and like different like weird tradition or weird things that she does, it like leads both to be like, I think some fan theory to be like she's this person who is like a lost daughter of this one, like.
Yeah,
royalty. Like I think she's royal blood, but she cracked.
Yeah,
under the intense study of the university. That's actually what the book,
the side piece book.
Yeah, that's from her perspective.
Ah,
yeah. So it's a fun little. I haven't read it actually.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I'll be excited to read it.
Yeah, Ari's cool.
What was the?
I think Ari plays a critical role in like. Quoth starting to like think more open-mindedly, like it makes him start to like she plays in that little creative space, like I got you this, like it has a piece of the moon in it. Oh, and blah, yeah. Blah blah. Mm-hmm. And then Quoth was like, well, I brought you like this water, and she's like, what's in it? And he's like, you know, like I got some of the moon, and she's like, I already said the moon, like that doesn't count. Like right, she knows they're playing a game.
Yeah,
even though they're being like cute about it. And he like, I don't know. I feel like him playing up on the roof, relearning his old skills of being like the wind or the leaf flying through the wind or whatever. Yeah. Like those stupid songs that he was naming.
The wind
like,
turning a leaf or something like that.
Squirrels playing or whatever.
Yeah. Like I get so annoyed when he says my music because he never just says music. He always says my music.
I didn't notice
It's
that.
Never, oh, you know, music saved me. Music brought me back from, you know, my craziness, or remembering the music that my parents used to play, you know, the music that my parents gave to me, and nothing. It's always, he always, always, always says my music does what it always did, which calmed me. Like, God, dude, why do you have to make it so about you?
Yeah. I don't know. I think him playing the music though on the rooftops and then Ari, like kind of challenging his imagination. And then him like learning.
He is really dense, right?
Who, Quoth?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like as a kid. The way that she's like opening his mind a little bit, like you're saying, where he's sort of like, he says something like, literal. I don't understand. But he's like, I mean, he's 15. 15-year-olds have imaginations.
But he's like a super genius freak.
I guess so.
He's got Asperger's.
Other stories have done that. So I can, sure, I guess. But it just kind of seems like, why is it that you're so dumb, dude? Because sometimes he's just really fucking dumb.
Yeah.
And it almost seems like, and I guess it could be part of his character where he's, you know, is actually dumber than he likes to portray himself, you know. He is kind of self-aggrandizing because he's a performer. I had another idea about that. So if it's part of his character, fine, that's cool. But it seems counter to what it is that he describes, like always being, you know, always getting through whatever the trial is, and he's always successful, and he's so good at everything. Whenever he's describing himself in the third person, like in the interludes, he's always like, but of course I would never do that or something like that, you know. But then at the same time, like, he doesn't realize that Ambrose is tricking him. And not, yes, I know he was on the drug or whatever at that point, but it still seems a little obvious to me. And yeah,
he's whipped and on a drug that he couldn't think straight, but okay.
I just feel like it was still a little obvious,
a little harsh. Will,
I saw it coming like a mile away.
Well, he was, have you been whipped?
And then the stuff with Ari, you know, where he's sort of like that expanding of his mind was sort of, you know, he was experiencing in a real time. It was sort of like, but I guess, or whatever, you know. It just seems like almost like these the times that he does fail as a kid are almost for the purpose of like, we need something to happen, because they seem incongruous with the way that he describes himself all the time.
Yeah, I mean, he just always has so much against him. It seems like, of course, some these are the bad, like, and he's mm-hmm. telling us the highlights. But I see what you're saying.
Like, the most believable conflict that I can that has happened yet is whatever's going on with the Chandrian. Mm-hmm. And then something that hasn't happened, which is whatever Ambrose is going to do, because I can see and. Excessively filthy rich noble son being able to make things very difficult for somebody.
Yeah, Quoth kills him. That's why he's a king killer.
Right. So it makes, like, I can see that conflict coming, and it makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
The other conflicts that he's had, getting kicked out of the archives, they're all don't seem like troubles that the character that he himself is describing would have, is what I mean to say. Took me too long to get to that point.
I feel like he's always had, at least since he's been like on his own, he's always had like a few people that were ready to accept him for being like the quick study he was. And then he's always had the people that were against him being the mm-hmm. quick study. And that's like always reinforcing and remaking him the underdog again.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I see what you mean. Like, it's kind of frustrating that it's always getting thrown back in his face. How, like, even though he is so successful and smart, he does keep having these moments that it's like, okay, now he's the underdog again. Like, I see what we're doing. We're making right. him mm-hmm. go through these things so that he's always overcoming. And I don't like this book anymore. No, I think it's
probably, and this might be more than is intended by the author, for all I know, which is next to nothing. But I would be willing to believe that that's just a part of his character, that because he's this self-aggrandizing trooper mm-hmm. that he's so proud of being, you know, a trooper, he talks about it all the time, that it's 100% in his self-centered character to build himself up in that way, even though he's not truly that way. Mm-hmm. And then is able to then be like, you know, like kind of dramatically bring the troubles about, you know, so like, and of course I couldn't do anything about Ambrose or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
The way that he presents everything is so theatrical.
Yeah.
That I could see that being a part of, you know, his sort of, I said, what's the word that I'm looking for? His sort of like megalomaniac attitude. He thinks that he's like so much bigger than maybe he actually is.
Yeah. He's doing it to himself.
Yeah. I feel like that's a character, you know, structure that I could see being intended for him.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
In which case it makes sense that he has these dumb failures in his story, even though we're supposed to think he's this great guy or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're dumb failures in the sense that it's like, sometimes it's like pure intention or whatever. Like, he just wanted to read a bunch of books and he thought he's getting a deal on candles. And then it's like, you're going to burn all the books, you idiot.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe that's why I forgive him, because it's like, he's trying to just like better himself, and like, just people don't want it.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm glad you're liking this section a little more than the original a little bit.
Yeah. Now that I have a grasp of what the hell's happening,
what to expect. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely am enjoying it more.
Okay. Good.
Because, like I said at the beginning, that first third seemed like it was really meandering. It's like we were all over the place. There was like four different time periods in the first third of the book. And
Just try to follow along. I just
didn't understand where it was trying to go.
Yeah.
I could look back and be like, yes, I understood what just happened, but why? I just couldn't figure out where we were going at all. And I think I get it now.
Gotcha. Nice. So, good.
I am enjoying it more. I mean, I wasn't not enjoyable the first go around. I just really didn't understand what was happening.
Yeah. Which makes it hard to, like, for me at least, a little bit, like when I'm still trying to think, like, what's the point of all this? Like, it makes it a little, pulls me out of it a little bit. It's not as immersive.
You want to go wherever it is that you're going. Yeah. And I guess depending on, especially with this book being as long as it is, if it was like a short book, I'd be fine not knowing where we were going until the end of it.
Right.
That'd be fine. But, it's you not. Know, 600 pages, I still don't know exactly what's happening. That's not where we've gotten to this point. We're only like at page like 480 or something like that.
That's a lot of a book, though.
that's a lot of book to still not have like a completely clear idea of what we're doing.
That's funny.
I think I have a pretty decent idea, but I couldn't sit here and say this is absolutely what's happening.
That's so funny.
And we're almost 500 pages in, so it's a little long-winded in some ways, which is fine. Obviously, people really, really enjoy this book, and I'm enjoying it considerably more now that I've got a better grasp.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I don't know why I like it so much. It's just, I guess I knew going in that I was going to re-listen to it, so I was like, it'll be big concepts that I can just absorb over time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even talking about it with you, I figured out a few things, like now, the fifth listen through or whatever. It's like, man, that's cool. I can't wait for the final book in the series, too. That's just going to be so much fun. Just get it all, get the book finished and the series over. Right. Like, all
do you think we'll still be doing this show at that time?
I have no idea when the book will ever come out. That's a good point.
Will either of us be alive?
If not, I'll have figured it out. I'll be like, good enough. I knew what was going to happen.
Right. Yeah. This is another one of those. It's just not going to come out. We're never going to know the end of this, and we're never going to know the end of Ice and Fire, which I think I'm fine with.
I'm okay with Game of Thrones, but I'd like an ending for this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fan theories aren't satisfying enough for me. Mm-hmm. Now I need a deep dive. A deep Killer Chronicles dive.
Finish what we're going to do of it first, and then you can do that without... Yeah, without too much information swimming around.
And then
around.
I'll just be like, I can't hold it back.
But towards that end, we are going to finish up the book this week. So the final third-ish is what you'll read. Just finish it.
Yeah, and you guys know how to find us on Instagram and Twitter at ears_stamps. And then anchor.fm/ears-stamps. And that's the way you can go to find all our links to social medias. You can support us directly. You find... Mm-hmm. Just the different ways to view the podcast and, tell your friends, please leave some reviews. Let us know.
Tell all your friends. That's the most important thing you can do.
Yeah.
Right now is tell your friends.
Yeah. And just,
it's more important than doing your taxes. If you're one of those people that got an extension and then another extension, just tell your friends first about the show.
And then buy taxes. This book too. Read this book with us.
Buy this book. Buy this book in all the languages.
In every language.
Yeah. We're going to show PR that people really want the third one to come out. There's been a resurgence in the purchasing of these books, and I need to get this out there.
From all over the country, in every language.
Yeah, right.
It's like, everybody needs this.
The world needs this.
If we were the reason that he finished the last book, I would lose my mind. If he was like specifically the Dog Ears and Timestamps podcast, when they covered my book, I realized
we
get
a dedication
it,
in the jacket.
I would lose my mind.
Could you imagine being in that situation where your favorite book by someone in the top three of your favorite authors dedicates the completion and success of the third book to you specifically?
Us. I would lose it, dude. We'd call him on the podcast and we'd have like promote the podcast or promote the book with him on the podcast, even though he'd be doing us a huge favor, like trying to get our numbers up. That's actually how I heard about him, from a podcast, because he was a fan of My Brother, My Brother and Me.
Oh yeah.
And he was on, then they all read that book, like the first one, I think, that he wrote. Mm-hmm. Well, the one we're reading. I think they read that one. And,
the first one.
Or they were making, they might have been making just references to it, because mm-hmm. I don't know if the podcast was out when the first book came out. Well, 07, same time-ish. And yeah, so he's been a fan of that show for a long time, and they gave him some shout-outs, and then he was on the show a couple times, and it was cool. So
that's neat.
Yeah, he's just a silly, goofy guy. So I would love it if he had like heard our show and was like, yes, I like these kids. Like, I need to finish the book for them.
I too would love it if someone famous was like, yes, I like these kids.
Well, he's got to be quite
a bit. He could be almost any famous person, and I would be happy for your patronage. Almost.
Or 30.
There are some that I would probably tell to go away. But
what if Trump was like, I'm just kidding, the former president?
I would tell him to go away. That's my stance.
But what about all the views we'd get? We'd go viral.
Oh, I'd just make a TikTok of me denying his like letter of like, you know, whatever, his letter of endorsement. I just make a TikTok of me saying, fuck you, dude. And then that would go viral on its own.
And then I'd make one of us accepting, and it'd be so funny because we'd have a series. It'd be awkward and no one would know our stance. It'd be perfect and not divisive. We'd stay in the middle. Anyway, you guys know what to do. The last section of the book, and then anchor.fm/earsthestamps. That has everything.
Yeah. Well, we'll see y'all next week. I'm Will Hedrick.
I'm Jordan Schaffer.
His dog is in timestamps.